What is up, beautiful people? Welcome to another edition of Current Sports. As always, I am your host, Al Martin. Happy Tuesday, folks. We've got a hot show. As always, today we will talk about the incredible recruiting class of head MSU football coach Mark D'Antonio, as signing day is now just one day away. We'll also chat about Johnny Football. That's right, Johnny Manziel checking himself into a rehabilitation center. Top 5 Tuesday, as we break down the top 5 reasons to still be positive about the MSU women's basketball team. Also, the Pistons signing John Lucas III. You'll get our thoughts on that. And also, we'll be playing an encore interview of Pro Football Hall of Famer Mike Haynes. We got a lot of buzz on that one. So all of that, all the while taking your calls and so much more. But hey, let's start the show like we always do. Here are your current sports quick hit headliners, brought to you by the one, the only, Kyrie Carter.
This is Kyrie Carter with your current sports quick hit headliners. 4 Oklahoma soccer players signed with Division I schools Monday. Lansing State Journal Dream Team goalie Zach Kovan signed with Michigan State, and midfielder Dean Bloombergen signed with Brown University. On the girls' team, goalie Vanessa Nick signed with DePaul, and midfielder Aaron Doster signed with UMass. A pair of former area basketball stars were named Freshman of the Week in their respective conferences Monday. Sexton grad Jalen Haynes earned his fourth Horizon League Freshman of the Week honor this season after averaging 17 points and 7 rebounds in 3 Oakland victories last week. Haynes had a career-high 27 points in a win over Wright State Wednesday. Cha-Cha Tucker, formerly of Eastern High School, won the award in the Ohio Valley Conference after averaging 11.5 points for Tennessee State. The scoring output nearly doubled Tucker's average on the season. Brandon Dawson was named co-Big Ten Player of the Week after averaging a double-double in a pair of Michigan State wins last week. Dawson scored a season-high 19 points to go along with 10 rebounds in the Spartans' win over Michigan Sunday, and tallied 17 points, 11 rebounds, and a win over Rutgers last Thursday. Dawson leads the Big Ten with 6 double-double and is the second Spartan to earn the award this season. Travis Trice has earned the award twice so far. Michigan State guard Tori Jankowska was named co-Big Ten Women's Basketball Player of the Week after helping lead the Spartans to back-to-back victories last week. Jankowska scored a career-high 28 points in MSU's win over Indiana. Jankowska is the first MSU player to receive the award since 2012. The Michigan State women's basketball team dropped a Big Ten road game Monday to Ohio State, 76-62. The loss snaps a 2-game winning streak for the injury-plagued Spartans. Ariel Power posted her 18th double-double of the season with 25 points and 13 rebounds, while Tori Jankowska chipped in a modest 19 points. MSU is now 500 on the year with an 11-11 record and 3-8 in the Big Ten. Michigan State's football 2015 recruiting class has been ranked one of the top 25 in the country by 3 different recruiting services. Rivals.com has a class at number 25, 247sports.com has a class at number 22, and scout.com has the ranking at 18. Spartans currently have 18 commitments, with signing day coming up on Wednesday. The Detroit Pistons will return to action today when they travel to South Beach to take on the Miami Heat. The Pistons snapped a 4-game losing streak last time out as they defeated the Houston Rockets 114-101 and are just 3 games out from a playoff spot. And on some tragic news, former Detroit Tiger Dave Bergen died Monday after a 3-year battle with bile duct cancer. Bergen played 9 of his 17 MLB seasons with the Tigers and was a member of the 1984 World Championship team. Bergen is well remembered for his 13 pitch at bat on a Monday night baseball game in 1984 when he fouled off 9 pitches before hitting a walk-off 3-run home run shot. Warren Sapp was arrested early Monday morning for soliciting a prostitute in Phoenix. Sapp was in Phoenix covering Super Bowl for the NFL Network, which has employed Sapp since 2008. Upon hearing news of his arrest, the network cut ties with Sapp. And those are your current sports quick hit headliners. If you want to call in and share your thoughts on any of those, please call in at 517-355-9527. Again, 517-355-9527.
All right, yes. Thanks a lot, Kyrie. Appreciate that. Again, that number to call is 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527. We will be taking your calls all the way up until 2 p.m., folks. Again, of course, you can go to our social media pages and also weigh in that way. If you're a little shy, just tweet me at Al Martin, WKAR, or leave a comment on our Facebook page at facebook.com/currentsports. Man, I'm excited about today's show. When am I not excited about a current sports show? Okay, folks, man, I love this show. And we appreciate all of you out there who tune in each and every weekday at 1 p.m. Folks, we've got a hot one. We'll be talking about the D'Antonio recruiting class in just a sec. We'll also be chatting about Johnny Football checking himself into rehab. And you'll get our thoughts on that as well. We've got an intriguing Top 5 Tuesday, as you just heard from Kyrie. Of course, the MSU women's basketball team has not had the greatest of seasons. They are certainly laboring right now. They fall yesterday to Ohio State. A really tough fought game from the Spartans. 76-62, the final of that one. Of course, Ariel Powers did what Ariel Powers always does. She posted her 18th double-double of the season. 25 points, 13 rebounds for her. So with everything that's gone down, of course, Michigan State right now is in the lower tier of Big Ten teams in the conference. What is there at all to look at this season with a lens of positivity at? You know, I'm always a glass-half-full type of guy. I am a glass-half-empty type of guy as well when it is warranted. But, you know, in this situation, I still feel as though there are a few ways you can look at this year and say, hey, they're still not out of this thing. Now, you know, hey, you may be listening right now through your speakers and saying, Al, you are insane. You are out of your mind. But bear with me here. We got an intriguing Top 5 Tuesday, folks. I'm going to give you the top five reasons. Alex and I are going to give you the top five reasons to be a little bit positive still about this MSU women's basketball year, folks. So that's going to be our very intriguing and debatable Top 5 Tuesday for today. We'll also be talking about the Pistons signing John Lucas III. Can this be a game changer as they still look for a point guard to replace the injured Brandon Jennings? And I tell you what, DJ Augustine was fantastic over the weekend against the Houston Rockets. So if he continues to play like that, they may not need a lot of contribution from John Lucas III. So you get our thoughts on that as well. And also, you know what? Last week, we had just a fantastic interview with NFL Hall of Famer, and former cornerback for the Los Angeles Rams. They were the Los Angeles Rams at the time. And of course, the New England Patriots, Mike Haynes. It was so good, folks. I got, you know, I actually checked my email probably like an hour after that show. I got 12 emails from you guys, from those that missed it and wanted to tune in and see and listen to it, and also from those of you who tuned in and thought so highly of Mike and our chat here on Current Sports. So we decided, of course, you know, with the Super Bowl still kind of fresh in our minds, we decided to play that interview. And also, Mike wasn't just the one to talk about the Super Bowl. I mean, in fact, he barely hit on that New England and Seattle Seahawks game. But, you know, he has this interesting campaign called Know Your Stats that really hits on his battle and everyone's battle out there with of course, the heinous disease called cancer. So you'll get to hear that interview and get to hear all about the Know Your Stats campaign as well on the tail end of our show. So you'll want to stick around for that as well. And before we dive into our first topic here on the show, I got to remind you all that, hey, Current Sports TV tapes now just a day away. Yes, tomorrow night at 6 p.m., I will be sitting down and chatting with a member of that 2000 MSU men's basketball championship team. And he also went on to work for Michigan State Federal Credit Union and now holds a position as the Director of Operations and Technology with the MSU women's basketball team. That's right, David Thomas will be joining me tomorrow night at 6 p.m. If you want to be a part of that live studio audience here at the WKAR-TV studios, just simply go to WKAR.org and sign up online for free right there. But I want to start the show by talking about my least favorite topic in all of the sporting world, yes, recruiting. Folks, we are now just a day away from us National Signing Day. How about that? Wednesday. That's right. Tomorrow is when many student athletes out there in high school will be taking their respective seats in podiums with their families and friends and signing that national letter of intent to where they will go and play college ball. Okay. And now, you know what? I'll tell you what. This class that the MSU football team has coming in is getting a lot of hype, and deservingly so. Deservingly so, folks. A lot of top-tier recruits in this one, folks. And just looking at it, you know, looking at, you know, D'Antonio's recruiting class right now, they are in the top 25, according to Rivals.com, as you just heard from Kyrie, also 247sports.com and scout.com. Actually, number 25 by Rivals, number 22 by 247 Sports, and number 18 by scout.com. An impressive, impressive class. And, you know, we said the same thing last year about D'Antonio's recruiting class as well. And I'll tell you what, you know, the success that this team has had on the national stage, I mean, last year winning a Rose Bowl and this year winning the Cotton Bowl, and not just winning the Cotton Bowl, but doing it in such an emphatic fashion. I mean, being down 20 in that game and coming back, it was arguably the most exciting bowl game out of the entire slate of bowl games this season. So, you know, Michigan State, you know, just from a branding perspective and from a viewing perspective, I mean, my goodness, the Spartans have certainly been on the map for quite some time now, especially these last 2 years. So, you know, naturally, when you have success on that type of a stage, you better believe that a lot of recruits out there, their eyes pop wide open like, oh, my goodness, look what D'Antonio is doing over there at Michigan State. I may want to be a part of that success. And, again, with Michigan State being in the top 25, you know, according to those three forms in recruiting, that shows that, yeah, their success is certainly breeding a lot of attention. A lot of attention, folks. Now, you know, it's interesting because, again, you know, Michigan State and Mark D'Antonio, I mean, you know, he's gone to I believe it's something crazy, like with five of the last 6 years that he's been here, Michigan State has gone to a bowl game. He's had success, folks. D'Antonio has come in and really done a great job of branding what is Michigan State football from a success standpoint. And, you know, they still get this kind of a stigma, I guess you can say, that they don't grab the 3 to 4 star recruits. I'm excluding these past 2 years. And, you know, a lot of it has to do with, you know, 2 star guys that have gone on to have unheralded success in the National Football League. And a few of those guys I want to shout out, you know, that were 2 star recruits coming to Michigan State: Le'Veon Bell, Darquez Dennard. I mean, look at Le'Veon Bell right now for the Pittsburgh Steelers. I mean, my goodness. I mean, you know, he gets named to the Pro Bowl team. You know, he puts that Steelers offense on his back. I mean, he was amongst a top 5 running back in this year's league, folks. Darquez Dennard, he's another name that pops out. I mean, of course, he was named the top corner in the entire nation during his senior season. He was unbelievable. And now you got Trey Wayans coming out. He's also a corner for Michigan State who is slated in many people's eyes to go in the first round of the NFL draft, folks. So when you have guys, again, those three guys in particular, who are not that 3 or 4 star recruit coming out with all the hype, that, again, prove themselves, get kind of that chip on the shoulder mentality, and have great success at the next level, I mean, it's a fantastic thing. So when you look at those guys, you know, those 2 star recruits who have gone on to have that great success, it naturally paints a picture that, okay, Michigan State doesn't get the highest recruits, but they develop the talent that they do get, which is true to a degree. But they have had a handful of 4 star and 3 star guys that have been great players here. You know, Deion Sims, who's in the league right now, playing for the Dolphins. You know, Will Golston, Blake Treadwell, Isaiah Lewis. I mean, there have been a lot of guys that have come here who have been highly touted, and that talent has been honed. Simple as that. You know, it's very simple, folks. I mean, so they're getting a plethora of talent on many different levels of competition and producing that talent into something special every single year. Now, interesting, because looking at this year's recruiting class, of the 18 commitments, 11 of them are ranked as 4-star recruits. Just to name a few here, Brian Lewerke, he's a quarterback. LJ Scott, running back. Tariq Thompson, linebacker. And you know, when looking at all of these guys, I mean, and again, Michigan State in the top 25, I mean, that's pretty impressive. Very, very impressive. Now, you know, again, those of you who know me and have been tuning in for Current Sports these past few years know that I am not the biggest fan of recruiting because I just kind of feel as though it's overhyped. You know, again, we've seen guys who aren't these highly touted recruits come into a program and exceed all expectations to become the creme de la creme at the program. We've seen that happen so often. And again, you know, kids change their minds. And I'm gonna hit on that. I could go on and on as to why I don't like recruiting. But first, I want to bring in Alex Sharg, our engineer here on Current Sports, because he is a recruiting fanatic. He follows it very, very intently. And I want to get his thoughts on this year's upcoming class on the eve of National Signing Day. Alex, how you doing, my man?
Doing well. Yeah, I'm glad you brought this up. And it's a little bit peculiar to me because most Michigan State recruiting classes are very, very Midwest focused. And you said it, Michigan State now on the national stage, they're garnering more attention than ever before. And it speaks with their recruiting class this year, as out of the 17 signed recruits they have for 2015, only 4 of them are from the state of Michigan. Only 10 of them are from the Midwest. Typically, you're going about 14 of 17, 13 of 17 from the Midwest. They have 8 or 9 guys out of state outside the Midwest. Texas, Arizona, Florida, that's more than ever before. In past recruiting classes, you'd be lucky to have 3 or 4 out-of-state guys. But now Michigan State, I think it's because they're on the national scene. They're trying to broaden their recruiting areas. I think it's a good thing. But again, it still comes back to the question at the end of the day. Is the recruiting worth the rating? Is a 5-star worth the 5-star? But again, you see guys developing later. You see 3 stars ending up being 5 stars. It also depends what site you go to. And it also depends what you're talking about, because a lot of coaches find guys and recruits off of these recruiting websites. So as much as recruiting sometimes is annoying, it sometimes is inaccurate, a lot of the talent Michigan State has, they wouldn't get them without the recruiting websites, because the coaches utilize the websites tremendously.
Right, right. Certainly. And you know what? And I always say it's all about the development once players get to a program as well. Because, I mean, perfect example, I don't want to pick on them, but University of Michigan, I mean, they are always in the top tier of schools in the nation that get those high recruits. But look at the success they've had these past few seasons. And a lot of it has to do with the coaching staff you have around you. Brady Hoke, let's be honest here, Brady Hoke and that coaching staff did not do a great job of developing that talent once they entered the campus in Ann Arbor. Point blank, period. Now, I think things are going to change around because, hey, you got the great Jim Harbaugh coming in now, which, of course, his name alone garners a lot of attention. It's interesting. It's really interesting.
And also, the thing about Jim Harbaugh is he just signed a quarterback out of New Mexico that flipped his commitment to play for Jim Harbaugh. This is the biggest quarterback Michigan's had since they signed Ryan Mallett back years ago out of Texarkana, Texas. So this is a really big signing for Michigan to get this guy, Zach Gentry, at quarterback, who's 6'4 or 6'6,
right,
230. I mean, that's the typical pro-style quarterback that Hoke and Rich Rodriguez have never had in their program. So that's a big signing for Jim Harbaugh. But again, will he pan out? We'll see, just like you said.
Yeah, only time will tell. Folks, we are taking your calls, 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527. We have a caller right now on line one. It's our man, Kirk. How you doing, Kirk? You are on Current Sports.
Not too bad, Al. How are you?
Fantastic, my man.
It was great meeting you the other day.
Yeah, you too. Yeah, Kirk was actually in our studios the other day. Definitely a pleasure, my man.
So I just want to talk a little bit of recruiting stuff. You stole a little bit of my thunder in terms of the whole development issue and the University of Michigan being rated so highly and things. I remember a number of years ago when your predecessor, Earl, had Tom Lemming on one time, I called in and asked him, I said, now, if someone's being recruited by, say, Michigan and Notre Dame, do you bump them up higher? And he said his response was absolutely. And his rationale was, those two programs seem to be doing pretty good in terms of winning. They must know something.
Right.
So, you know, there's some of that there, but, you know, the piece about Michigan State I just want to mention, and then I want to give you one little interesting stat to help you with your argument about recruiting not being that important. But
mm-hmm. Yeah.
the piece about Michigan State is that when John L. Smith was at Michigan State, he was quoted one time as saying he would love for every one of his recruiting classes to only be 17 people, because 5 times 17 gives you 85 scholarships, and that would mean you're retaining people. They're all developing and panning out and stuff. Well, if you notice, John L. didn't last too long because he couldn't have recruiting classes of 17. He was constantly having to replace people that were washing out or not developing or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Mark D'Antonio, the last 2 years or the last 3 years, has had classes that have been 17, 18, 19. It's been right in there. The amount of development and retention of players that D'Antonio has had has been one of the cornerstones for the development of that football program. Now, here's my stat for you, Al. You'll love this.
Yeah, go ahead.
How many players, starting players in the Super Bowl, both offense and defense, were five-star recruits coming out of high school?
Oh,
were
boy.
Were the creme de la creme. Five stars.
Oh, let's see. If I had to give a number, both on offense and defense.
Yep.
Oh, let's see here. I would say... I'm going to go low here. I'm going to go 8.
Zero.
Zero.
Absolutely
wow.
None.
Wow. That says a lot right there, my man.
Yeah, there you go, Al.
Wow. Appreciate that. That's the stat of the day. Thanks a lot, Kirk. Great call, my man.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Wow. Zero. 0 5-star recruits in the Super Bowl, folks, starting on both sides of the football. That says a lot. You know, it does. It's really interesting, too, because I want to dive into another aspect of this as well. And again, if you want to call in, folks, 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527. Of course, great friend here on Current Sports, Graham Couch. He has a very interesting article here in the Lansing State Journal entitled "Time to Flip the Script on Recruiting." Now, you know, he attacks the subject of recruiting from a couple of different angles here. And one of the angles that I found very intriguing has to do with the recruiting game itself. When it comes to, you know, coaches going out there, whether it be head coaches or assistant coaches and so on, and they get a verbal commit from a player. Now, of course, that player, you know, still hasn't signed his or her national letter of intent. So it's still fair game. So, you know, still, you know, if it's not set in stone with a player, and you know, if it's nothing written down here, it's really interesting how other coaches and other programs try to just kind of nip and tuck at that player to try and get them to change their mind. It's really interesting. And, you know, a few interesting things about this article. If you haven't seen it, again, it's in today's Lansing State Journal. Graham Couch did a great job of kind of laying this out. And, you know, he goes on to talk about, of course, recruiting coordinator Curtis Blackwell, who actually talked to Joe Rexroad of the Detroit Free Press. And Curtis talks about, you know, how you can't fall asleep behind the wheel, you know. And he did read a direct quote from him. He says, quote, "You can't fall asleep behind the wheel. That's how kids get flipped. We've got a kid in Ohio that's committed, but that hasn't stopped our neighbors down there from poaching at him. We're all over that." And to keep on reading the article, just a few more grabs here. MSU tries to use a low-pressure approach so kids only commit once they're truly ready. It doesn't always work, but it's a smart tactic for a program with significant cachet. Now, but if there's a school out there that avoids interaction with already committed prospects, it isn't winning. So this is the game of recruiting, folks. Even though a kid may say and may state, okay, I commit to go to, you know, the University of Arizona. I commit to go to Notre Dame. If it's not written, set in stone just yet, and if there is a chance of that kid changing his mind, you better believe other schools are still going to try and sway and swing that kid's thought process. And we see it happen all the time. And that's the reason why. I mean, you just never know what these young minds are going to do. That's the game of recruiting. And, you know, again, another point that Graham Couch brings up is that these kids can't start visiting universities until August of their senior year. Now, just imagine if that started earlier, because to be honest with you, sometimes the overall visit of when a kid goes to a campus university to visit that organization, to meet the coaching staff, that sometimes is the end-all, be-all, final selling point as to whether or not they want to go to that school. You know, I had Trevor Manuel here this past summer with his father. And the big reason why, and then Trevor Manuel, I mean, he's arguably the most highly touted recruit in this Michigan area when it comes to boys basketball. And Trevor told me that the selling point as to why he wanted to go to the University of Oregon, when still he had all these other schools going after him, including Michigan State University, Tom Izzo and company, was the fact that when he went on that campus and saw how beautiful it was and saw the house that Phil Knight built out in Oregon, he said, oh, man. Oh, the hot tubs and the Brazilian wood oak floors in the weight room, in the locker rooms, in the decorations, his eyes popped out of his head, folks. That visit was the end-all be-all to him committing to be an Oregon Duck. That's what it came down to. So I do think there are a few aspects that needs to be changed when it comes to recruiting. I think that these kids need to be visiting these campuses earlier than their senior year. And also, that's the game. Again, if you are a coach or an assistant coach on a college football coaching staff, who cares if a kid verbally commits somewhere? If there is still an opportunity for that kid to change his mind, why not try and nip and tuck at his brain? I mean, that's just how it is, and it happens all the time. You know, kids, like I said, you never can dive into the brain of a recruit or a kid at that age because they change their mind so often. You know what I mean? It's just the way it is sometimes. So it's a frustrating one. I would not want to be on the recruiting trail. Some coaches love it. Some coaches love going out and trying to sway the attention from a school of a recruit to their school. They love that. They love that game within the game, while some coaches absolutely hate it. So to each his own, folks. Again, 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527. Let's hit our first break on today's Current Sports. When we come back, we'll talk about Johnny Football, folks. Of course, you talk about recruiting. He was certainly a highly touted recruit who panned out to be one heck of a college football player, but has battled a few distractions off the field, so much so that he has decided to check himself into a rehabilitation center. We'll chat about that in just a sec. Don't go anywhere. You are listening to Current Sports right here on WKAR AM 870. I am your host, Al Martin. Welcome back, folks. Well, I'll tell you what. Athletes and their off-the-field or court issues. It's something you always hear about, especially in today's modern-day age of social media with Twitter, Facebook, Instagram. I tell you what. You better be on your P's and Q's if you aren't in the spotlight in today's age, because all it takes is one cell phone video or one tweet from an errant fan that happens to be by you seeing you doing something wrong, and then it is out there and it is viral, folks. I mean, man, oh man, it's tough. And, you know, this was a story. First off, as a prelude to the Johnny Football conversation, there are two stories, actually, that really had me shaking my head and saying, you gotta be kidding me. And it kind of has a local tie. The first one with Greg Anthony. I don't know if you guys know Greg Anthony, but he had a long career in the NBA. And to be honest with you, he's a pretty good broadcaster as well. He's done a lot of work for Turner Sports. You can catch him each and every March right on CBS Sports, breaking down the games. Actually, Alex and I actually saw him last year at the Big Ten tournament in Indy as he was doing the broadcast, him and Steve Kerr. Really nice guy, just got caught doing the wrong thing, folks. Of course, he was supposed to broadcast the Michigan State and Maryland men's basketball game that took place a few weeks ago last month. But right before, like I believe a day before the broadcast was supposed to air, Greg Anthony was arrested for being online and soliciting a prostitute. Now, I'm reading here in the paper that Greg Anthony yesterday has actually pled not guilty to that charge in D.C. Superior Court. And he is scheduled right now to return to court on February 11th. Now, he declined to comment after the hearing. Again, charged with soliciting a prostitute at a Washington hotel. That took place exactly on January 16th. Now, court documents say that he responded to an escort ad, that authorities, it was a setup, authorities had placed on the classified's website on Backpage.com. All right, so there's an eerie similar vibe here with another story that broke yesterday concerning one of the NFL's best, folks. I grew up watching him, actually, when he was a defensive player for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Warren Sapp was arrested yesterday morning for the same thing, soliciting a prostitute, this time out in Phoenix, Arizona, the same location of this year's Super Bowl. Now, of course, Sapp was out there covering the Super Bowl for the NFL Network, which had employed Sapp since 2008. Now, upon hearing the news of his arrest, the network cut ties with Sapp, and deservedly so. So, we hear this so many times. Athletes just can't get it right. And even former, you know, those are two former athletes, just getting into trouble off the field, trouble that could easily be avoided. And right now, a football player who's in the league right now, who is nowhere by means involved in anything like soliciting a prostitute, but is battling a few issues off the field when it comes to partying and his national perception with that. So before you get my thoughts on this whole spiel concerning Warren and Greg and Johnny Manziel, we have a caller right now online. It's our good friend Ray is online too. Ray, how you doing, my man?
Hey, my friend, how you doing?
Oh, fantastic. Happy Tuesday.
Yeah, you too. I'll tell you, that story you just talked about, I wanted to touch bases on it. It's kind of sad. You know, I always thought Warren Sapp was a great football player. He was quicker than a cat as a defensive tackle, and he just got into Pro Football Hall of Fame a couple years ago. He goes way back with the marijuana problems he had.
Right.
And that's why they made him wait so long in the Pro Football Hall of Fame. That's why I said, you know, it was kind of sad that they didn't let Warner get in. But Warner worked with him for the last 4 or 5 years, and I really started liking Sapp and some of his analysts and stuff.
Yeah.
So I'm praying to God, Kurt Warner's right out there in Arizona, that maybe he can touch his heart and talk to him about Jesus. You know, he's just a party machine, and he went too far. I mean, I don't know why they allow these things on the Yellow Pages escorts, and then when you call them, you know, that I'm not saying that he didn't do some things wrong, like physically touching these women or whatever.
Yeah.
But they were trying to scan him for money, too. You know, that's why you don't call these places.
But Ray, I mean, don't you think as an athlete, I mean, knowing that you are in the limelight all the time,
right,
that you would be smarter than that? You know, it's something called common sense here. You know,
right,
once you are on that level, in that pedestal,
yep,
as an athlete, or whatever, baby, whatever type of celebrity you may invoke, I mean, you have to be smarter than that. Simple as that.
Yep.
I really have no sympathy for him, right?
Right. Well, Deion Sanders is a Christian man, too. So hopefully one of them can get to him and talk to him about Jesus, and maybe he can move on to another job and make something out of his life. You know, you got to forgive people. They make mistakes, but he's got to learn from them, too, you know, and not ever do that kind of stuff. I don't know if he physically touched these women, but it'll come out in the court.
Mm-hmm.
He's got a hearing February 23rd. It's sad that anybody loses their job, but you're right. He's already been warned before, a few months or years ago, he had the same problem.
Right.
So, you know, he didn't learn from it.
Yeah, exactly. And that's what it comes down to. I mean, you got to learn from your regressions, without a doubt. Without a doubt,
you
Ray.
Think all the money he had, he wouldn't have any problem with finding women, wouldn't you?
Yeah, you know, that's the same thing I said to our students who work on the show here. I'm like, oh, Warren Sapp, I mean, you would think that, I mean, at that point in your life, I mean, you would know how the game works here. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You cannot put yourself in those type of positions.
Right.
Point blank, period, Ray. Thanks
a
lot,
exactly,
my man.
Right. God bless you, buddy.
Thank you. All right. Now, you know, of course, Warren Sapp and Greg Anthony, hey, you know, they got court dates coming up, and you know, we'll be following that story as it also progresses. But I found it very interesting when it comes to Johnny Manziel entering rehabilitation treatment. Now, of course, Johnny Manziel, Browns quarterback right now, who is, of course, backing up former Michigan State QB, Brian Hoyer. He entered treatment, I just want to read a quote here that comes from advisor Brad Beckworth, which Johnny's advisor, I should say. Quote, Johnny knows there are areas in which he needs to improve in order to be a better family member, friend, and teammate. And he thought the offseason was the right time to take this step. On behalf of Johnny and his family, we're asking for privacy until he rejoins the team, in Cleveland. Now, you know what? I've been keeping a close ear to social media, to nationally syndicated programs on ESPN and Fox Sports, just trying to garner all of the opinions on this subject. Because I just want to kind of get a general feel for how the public perceived Johnny checking into rehabilitation treatment. Now, I tell you what, I've seen some comments that are and opinions that are certainly, in my own opinion, just plain old unwarranted. Point blank, period. First off, I mean, for me, when looking at this story, I got to commend Johnny Football. I have to commend this young man because I can only imagine what it's like to walk in his shoes, dating all the way back to his time at Texas A&M as you know, this unbelievable quarterback and the attention that he got at such a young age. And he's still young. I think he's only like, what, 21 years old, folks. He's still a kid. So I can only imagine, we can only imagine what it's like to walk in Johnny Manziel's shoes on a daily basis. And, you know, the attention, I mean, he was friends with hip-hop star Drake when he was still in college, folks. And naturally, we all have been young before, you know, going out and hanging out and partying, the life that college, you know, is like, you know, that comes with the territory, with that attention. You meet certain people, and you're exposed to a lot of things, and you learn through those experiences. You find out, ideally, who you are. And Johnny, of course, he's been in the tabloids for partying with Drake and partying with Justin Bieber and going out on different trips when a lot of people out there felt as though he should be concentrated on football. And I tell you what, Johnny Football entering treatment is showing me that he is starting to get it. He's starting to understand it. Okay, I may have a problem here. I may have a problem with going out too much and drinking and so on and so forth. I need some help because this is not the person I want to be. There are many people that if the roles were reversed and they were in the position of Johnny Football, if they were in the shoes of Johnny Manziel, they would be probably ignoring the naysayers and saying, hey, this is the way I'm going to live my life. I'm young and I want to have fun. And they will continue to do the things that in the eyes of most feel as though it's not right. Point blank, period. And it's not going to translate to success on the football field. So for me, I got to commend this young man for saying, hey, I got a problem and I need help. And those that want to bash him are totally in the wrong for it. How can you bash somebody that's reaching out for help, acknowledging and knowing that they are in the public eye and knowing that, you know, the story of them being, you know, checking themselves into rehabilitation treatment, checking themselves into rehab is going to be national news, knowing that is going to garner attention. How can you bash somebody for reaching out for help? You got to commend this young man for this. And, you know, I really think that Johnny is going to get it at one point. And I think this is the first step into getting it because I do think he is a great young talent, even though, you know, and first off, you can't really judge him for the very small sample size that we saw this season. He barely played, folks. He barely played. I think he is a tremendous talent in this league, and his ceiling is still high. I just don't think we've seen enough of it. We haven't seen Johnny Football play enough to really formulate an honest opinion on how his game truly translates into the NFL. I tell you what, I'm rooting for him. I'm certainly rooting for him. You know, will he have a career with the Browns? I tell you what, Brian Hoyer right now has certainly proved that he is a starting QB in this league. And unless there's a traumatic injury that happens to him or something crazy here where the team releases him for some crazy reason, I don't know if Johnny Manziel is going to get a fair shot of being the starting QB in this league. And maybe it's just about patience because we've seen quarterbacks in this league come in, you know, Tom Brady, you know, playing second fiddle to Drew Bledsoe. I mean, you know, Aaron Rodgers playing second fiddle to, of course, the great Brett Favre. Sometimes it takes time to get that opportunity and then to take advantage of that opportunity once you get it. But I do think he will. And the mere fact that he is looking for help right now, I got to give him a hats off because there are not a lot of people in his position that could have had the courage to do that. What do you think about it? 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527. And I always go back to, you know, I always think about this comment that my grandmother and my parents raised me with. You know, again, when you're young, you experiment and do things that probably later on in life you may regret. But you learn from them. The most important thing is that you learn from them. They always told me that. And, you know, if you develop a bad habit, no matter what it is, no matter what that habit may be, old habits, those habits can turn into become old habits if you keep on doing them. And old habits die hard. My grandmother used to always tell me that. Old habits die hard. And I'm glad, again, that Johnny Football is realizing that this habit could be detrimental to his career and his well-being, and that he has decided to take his step, without a doubt. I definitely agree with it. Alex, I want to get your quick thoughts on it, man, before we hit the second break and, of course, replay that great interview with Mike Haynes. What were your initial thoughts on this whole Johnny Manziel story?
Yeah, my initial thoughts are you ended up seeing it a lot, and it comes back to it's just about time. And I think that this is the right direction for him. I'm sorry that this has to get out like this. It's not like he went out and told everybody that he was going to rehab, Al. It's not like he went out and told everybody this. This was just uncovered, and this was uncovered by a reporter who spoke to someone in his PR side of things. So overall, I think that this is the right step for him. I wish him best. I think this is going to be a troubled, long process.
You think so?
To get out of this? Yeah, I mean, when he comes back, yeah, he's going to end up being back focused, but it's always going to come back to him realizing he made a mistake and admitting to that. And if his performance isn't great when he comes back, you know, you better believe he's going to get a lot of banter when he comes back on the field.
But don't you think, I think, to a certain extent, I think we are kind of blowing this story out of proportion because, hey, we were all young once. I mean, football players party all the time. I mean, living that life as can you imagine being a young phenom that young, having all that attention, you're hanging out with celebrities, you're living a good life, you're having fun. There has to be a balance at the end of the day, and Johnny is realizing that maybe he's not balancing his off-the-field life quite well with his professional life on the field. At the same time, he's young. He deserves to go out and party a little bit. But when that starts to interfere with your job, and that's the reason why that I think he's doing this, because, I mean, let's go back to, you know, the meeting that he missed at midseason. They said that, you know, a few of his teammates said that, yeah, Johnny was out partying his butt off. And they used another word than butt, but he ended up missing a meeting. Anytime you start missing meetings and not handling your obligations and responsibilities as a professional, then there's a problem. But I have no problem with him partying. If he wants to do that, that's fine. As long as he does what he's supposed to do in the meetings, in the film room,
absolutely,
and on the field, that's fine.
I totally agree with you. But what I'm saying is if he comes back from rehab next season and he doesn't play well, the reason I think it's going to be a lot to handle is look at in the past examples. Look when players would have something happen to them, they come back, they don't play well. Look at Tiger Woods. After his whole stint, there's a lot of blame for that. People are still talking about what happened with Tiger Woods before he got hurt. And that's only because he didn't play well when he came back. Miguel Cabrera, after he went out partying the night before, days before, they played in the World Series and the MLB playoffs, people stopped talking because he actually showed it didn't affect him on the field when he came back. So that's why I really think that if Manziel comes back and he doesn't play well, people are just going to pinpoint this for the blame.
But the big thing is if he will even get a shot to do that, because, of course, I mean, Brian Hoyer right now, I don't see him relinquishing that starting
QB
spot.
Yeah, his to lose, I agree.
Yeah, I don't know. I just don't know. But, hey, I commend the young man. I wish him well. I really hope he gets it together. I really hope he does. Great first step for you, Johnny. I really hope you do. All right, 517-355-9527. 517-355-9527. Folks, when we come back, we will talk to and play an interview, I should say, from a former National Football League corner who played for the New England Patriots and the Los Angeles Raiders. He was elected into the Pro Football Hall of Fame in 97, Mike Haynes. If you missed that interview, you get to hear it in just a sec. Don't go anywhere. Welcome back to Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin. Well, folks, you know what? We had a legend on our show last week. Of course, on the eve of the Super Bowl weekend. His name is Mike Haynes. He's a former National Football League cornerback who played for the New England Patriots and Los Angeles Raiders. Now, he was elected to the Pro Football Hall of Fame back in 1997, but he has an interesting story. You're talking about interesting stories off the field. He was actually diagnosed at a prostate cancer event at the Pro Football Hall of Fame and now serves as the spokesperson for the Know Your Stats About Prostate Cancer campaign. Now, you know, this interview was so great. I got 12 emails about the chat with Mike, those who tuned in and got to catch it and those who just missed it. So we thought, you know, it'd be kind of cool to play an encore of that chat. Here he is, Mike Haynes. First, I had to ask him when and how he found out that he had prostate cancer.
It was actually at the launching of the campaign with the NFL and the Urology Care Foundation, where they were doing free screenings for retired players. And at the time, I worked at the NFL office, and they asked me to go down and try and encourage the guys to do the screening. And while I was there, these ladies that I now call angels encouraged me to sit down and take the simple blood test, and that might be more effective. And well, when I did, that led to me talking to the doctor there, and he started asking me a lot of questions, and I really didn't know the answers to, such as, what's my baseline PSA? Does prostate cancer run in my family? And things like that. And I was a little bit embarrassed that I didn't know the answer, but I'm sure a lot of guys would be that way. But when he started giving the statistics that 1 in 6 men would be diagnosed with prostate cancer in their lifetime, and you compare that to 1 in 8 women who'd be diagnosed with breast cancer in their lifetime, I thought that sounded like an awful lot of men. More men are going to get it than women are going to get breast cancer, but I never heard of it before, didn't know anything about it.
Mm-hmm.
Then when he said 1 in 5 African-American men would be diagnosed with it in their lifetime, well, when I got back home, I called my primary care doctor. He looked at my chart, and really, had that screening not taken place, I would not have had that conversation with my doctor. And so he said, you know, why don't we just send you for a biopsy? Well, that biopsy turned out positive. I had cancer in 9 of the 12 places that they, you know, they checked on my prostate. And of course, without having any symptoms, without knowing anything, feeling like I'm in great shape, and being diagnosed with the disease, when they asked me to be the spokesperson, I said yes, absolutely, because I thought it was crazy the way I found out, and I wanted to try and make sure that other men didn't find out the same way.
Now for you, Mike, I mean, certainly that is such a jolting bit of news whenever you find out that you have cancer. And, you know, I'm pretty sure for a lot of our listeners out there, it probably strikes them to the heart, because I'm pretty sure there are many people out there who have had a family member go through it. Me personally, I had my grandfather actually pass away from prostate cancer back in 2011. And it was such a jolting thing, and to see him go through that, man, it's a vivid memory that will never leave me. For you, Mike, I mean, when you got the news, I mean, what immediately went through your head?
Well, for you, first of all, you know that you're more likely to get it than most men because it runs in your family.
Right, exactly.
For you, it's 1 in 6 for all men. If it runs in your family, it's 1 in 3.
Oh, wow.
So, and exactly the same situation for you as me. My grandfather had it. But I didn't know it. I didn't know it until after I had my surgery, and I called some of my mom and my uncle, and they said, oh, yeah, that's what Dad died with. And, oh, gosh, I didn't know. So anyway, but when you first hear that C word, you can imagine what happens. Fortunately, my wife was with me, and I don't think I heard anything that the doctor said for the next 10 minutes. She was there deep in conversation with him and taking notes, and I first thing I said is, I want it out. And he said, well, Mike, the good news is we caught it early. You have plenty of time to think about this. And that's the other thing that I want men to know, that if you do have it, you want to have the same type of time frame I had. You got plenty of time to make a good decision. You don't have to rush. You really need to get educated about all the different treatment options. And one treatment option, believe it or not, is watchful waiting. You do nothing. You just watch it. You want to give yourself plenty of time to have those conversations with doctors.
Now, Mike, for all of the men out there listening, I mean, at what age should you start thinking about getting your prostate, you know, examined?
Well, according to the American Urological Association, which is they're the experts on this, they say that if it runs in your family, you probably should start earlier, but that should start with a conversation with your doctor, probably around in the 40s, you know, when you hit 40, but if it doesn't run in your family, you can wait until you're in your 50s. But I try to encourage guys, have the conversation as early as you can, at least put it on the radar. I was very fortunate. My doctor was tracking my PSA because I was an African-American, and I didn't know it. I was shocked when I called him and said, what's my baseline? And he opened up a chart and showed, told me what it was. And I was lucky. I don't want other men to be lucky.
Right, right. That is certainly true. Folks, if you're just now joining us here on Current Sports, we are talking with former NFL cornerback and Pro Football Hall of Famer Mike Haynes. Now, Mike, you know, I want to talk a little about also the Know Your Stats about prostate cancer campaign and how big it's becoming. And when you go and do these talks like here on Current Sports, what's the reaction you get from different listeners and those involved that want to know more about it?
Well, we try to send everybody to our website, you know, which is knowyourstats.org. But I've been really blessed to have the help from a lot of great players. Deacon Jones, who's also a prostate cancer survivor, before he passed away, he would be with me at a lot of different events around the country, and in particular at the Super Bowl. Everybody loved Deacon and wanted to hear his thoughts on the Super Bowl picks, you know.
Right.
But also had Commissioner Goodell and a lot of players like Marcus Allen and Ronnie Lott, Michael Irving, Chris Carter, you know, on and on and on. And every year at that screening where I was, you know, where I had that conversation with the doctor, every year at that screening, we have some guys that we have to talk to because their PSA is really elevated or something, you know, doesn't mean you have cancer or anything, but we're having these conversations with a lot of guys every year and encourage them to get in. And unfortunately, quite often we'll find another guy that has prostate cancer.
Wow. And you know what, Mike? Something also I want to bring up, because I tell you what, in my family, you know, my family is filled with a lot of macho men. And, you know, they feel as like, oh, they're invincible to the world. And they'd say, oh, I don't need to go to the doctor. I'll do it. They you know, they push it off to, you know, a few months or maybe in a year from now. How often do you see men out there that just don't go to the doctor or want to go to the doctor because maybe they're a little nervous about the news they may hear, and they just don't want to deal with the stress that may come about? I mean, do you find that a lot of men out there just don't go to the doctor, period?
Yeah, they just don't go. But, you know, the reason I'm the perfect spokesperson is because I'm just like most men.
Right.
I wasn't going either. But when I found out that so many men are going to get it, and the best way to beat it or to win that fight is to find out early. So early detection is the key. And so if you're putting it off, that's wrong. I mean, you know, if they find out, they'll find out later. I don't care. Well, shoot, man, that doesn't make any sense to me. And that's one of the reasons that I feel real fortunate to have these great football players. I mean, when you get a guy like Ronnie Lott looking into a camera saying, guys, get off the couch, man, and get in there and that, you know, don't be afraid of that digital rectal exam. You know, it's and the other thing, we started recruiting women because guys are, you know, you get three or four tough guys together, they just get tougher. But you get their wives, you know, involved in it, their girlfriends involved in it. They're like, no, you are going to get checked. You know, we want this positive outcome. And so we started recruiting women. As I said, everybody knows everything about breast cancer. No one knows anything about prostate cancer, where it's located, what a symptom of it is, what its function is, nothing. And we need to change that and try and, you know, start talking about our health a lot more. I think because women and childbearing, they start at a much younger age. They're talking about it with each other, and their moms get involved, you know.
Right.
And there's nothing like that for men, nothing. As we get older, they say, hey, make sure you're getting this checked and that checked. But yeah, sure, you know.
Right.
Well, with a little encouragement from the women, I think that they might be we might be a little bit more effective. But the good news is that it's working. The awareness is working. When I first became the spokesperson about 5-6 years ago, it was 1 in 6 men would be diagnosed with prostate cancer. And I forgot, I'm a little remiss in that it's now changed. It's now 1 in 7. So. It's working, and we're raising money for research, and the doctor's doing a much better job, and we're just trying to make sure we do our part and make sure that men are aware of it. The PSA and the digital rectal exam are right now the best two tests out there to help men find out if they should be taking action or if they should have the biopsy. And that's all we have, and so we need to use it while we can.
That is fantastic. Again, folks, Mike Haynes, former NFL corner and Pro Football Hall of Famer. Before I shift gears, because I definitely want to get your thoughts on the Super Bowl as well, Mike, before I let you go here. For those out there listening, though, can you remind them how they can get more information about the Know Your Stats campaign?
I'm sorry, what was that?
Can you remind folks out there how they can get more info about the Know Your Stats campaign?
Yeah, just go to the website, knowyourstats.org.
There you go, folks. There you go. Get educated. It could definitely save a life or two. All right, folks. Now, Mike, for you, you played for the New England Patriots and L.A. Raiders at the time, so I can pretty much guess who you're rooting for this weekend. Am I pretty much safe to say you're rooting for the Pats?
Well, let's just say this. I used to wear number 40, and that jersey was retired in New England.
Right, exactly. Let's just there we go. That pretty much tells us, right?
Yeah.
All right, folks, again, that was the great Mike Haynes. Again, we played that interview last week. Mike was on the show to talk about that Know Your Stats About Prostate Cancer campaign. And I guess his prediction was right. He went with his New England Patriots, and yeah, we know what happened on Sunday, right? Great interview with Mike. Again, just go to the Know Your Stats campaign website at knowyourstats.com, and you can find out all the information about knowing your stats about prostate cancer. Fantastic interview with Mike. All right, folks. Well, we've come to that moment in the show that I hate the most. That's right, where we have to say goodbye. But I want to remind you all that, hey, we're back at it tomorrow right here at 1 p.m. on WKAR AM 870. We'll have another fantastic guest on the show. Ted Zale is his name, and Ted is actually an author on the book Tony Zale about The Man of Steel. It's entitled The Man of Steel, which kind of recaps Tony Zale's life. Now, if you don't know who Tony Zale is, he was one unbelievable boxer, folks. Unbelievable. One of the best in the game. If you don't know much about him, he has one intriguing story. And Ted Zale, is actually his nephew. It's called The Man of Steel. You'll find out about the Man of Steel, Tony Zale, and why Ted decided to write this book about his uncle. It's going to be a fantastic interview, folks. We'll also have plenty of chatter about signing day, which is tomorrow, and so much more. Tune in tomorrow at 1 p.m. right here on WKAR AM 870, folks. But hey, I got to say goodbye. Thanks a lot to all of you for tuning in to today's Current Sports. You have been listening to Current Sports with me, Al Martin, on WKAR AM 870 East Lansing. Take care. Have one fantastic Tuesday. Stay warm and be easy, people.